Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Nah. I'm on the Facebook page. Yeah. Kevin said it better not be a clip show, and now I think we should just make it a clip show.
Oh, sweet.
A clip show podcast. I don't think such a thing has ever been done.
I think we should just take a clip. We should make it a clip show podcast of us, but we just reenact the clips instead of actually getting the clips.
Oh, nice.
So that'd be too much work. So, all right, here's my clip of every Steve interaction. I hate Games Workshop.
Here's my every Joe interaction. I'm a huge douche and a giant hipster. Yes.
Paintings for suckers.
It is. It's for guys who want to try hard and never win ever.
See?
I'm not the one who tries to win and fails.
I hate Doctor Who, though. I've never watched an episode.
Doctor Who's for hipster douches.
Yeah, it is.
I saw the
50th in the theater.
With red beards.
Yes. The 50th episode, and the 50th anniversary one was actually pretty good. And the audience in the theater was not as bad as I thought they would be. I thought they'd be far. They actually standing in line was far worse than actually going in. Because I didn't, like, my wife bought tickets ahead of time, and, you know, we just kind of walked right in. But the people waiting in line, I saw them, were like the prototypical Doctor Who fans. Like, there was like the couple that the one guy was like 7 foot tall and the girl was like 4 foot tall. And he was like wearing a Doctor Who shirt that was just a tiny bit too tight, where you could see that little bit of the belly. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, you know you're one of those people, right? Because you're at the theater.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I'm not 7 foot tall and my wife is 3 foot
tall.
Well,
yeah, you're not 7 feet tall, yeah. Obviously. I was saying you're one of those Doctor Who people.
No, I wasn't even wearing a Doctor Who shirt.
You were at the theater. That makes you one of those people.
No, that does not make me one of those people.
All right, Facebook.
That's like saying.
That's like
saying that because you play go and play Magic cards, you're one of those Magic card people.
I don't play Magic cards.
You do play Magic.
I'm playing online on a draft.
Doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
No,
see?
It's not the
see,
same.
See, there's
thing.
Lines that we all draw with ourselves.
That's not a line. If you say I'm a dude who's breathing heavily behind a computer screen while playing Magic, that's true.
And you're one of those people who sits there and plays Magic.
No, I don't ever go to stores.
I don't care.
I own no physical cards.
I don't care. To me, you play Magic.
Back me up here, Facebook.
You can't just keep going to Facebook. We're not live.
I know. We should be.
Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. Steve, you want to do it? You want to do it?
Do what? Talk about dicks?
No. Oh, God. This is our 50th anniversary show, but before we start, let me introduce the Season 1 Beardless Riker to my Season 2 Bearded Riker. Steve.
We kind of both. I have like, I guess I'm like kind of bearded Riker.
You're kind of bearded. You're like Riker in between season one and season two, where he's like, maybe I should grow a beard.
He's like rubbing it, like, this beard's looking pretty good, yeah. I think.
I should just run with it. Picard, what do you think? Should I run with the beard? Make it so. And this is our 50th episode. We've been doing this for over 100 weeks because we do every 2 weeks. So that's all 50 episodes of incomprehensible nonsense, singing,
dicks,
butts, and all of that stuff in between. We actually asked online yesterday because Steve forgot we were doing our 50th. This was the 50th episode.
Yeah, I thought it was 49. I had something special planned, but I couldn't remember what it was. It was a good idea, but I forgot the idea.
Well, we could do it for 52 because that's technically 2 years on the air.
Yes, as James Brandt pointed out.
Yes. Basically, everyone just likes the fact that we talk about dicks, butts, and make fun of GW.
My favorite is I like the part where Steve is right from Scott Anderson.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
And the Skull Tank fan pick.
Skull Tank fan pick.
It's so good.
We got to change that, though. That's been up there for a while.
You can never change it. It's got to stay forever.
It's got to stay forever.
Until we get it. The only thing that can replace it is another piece of equal level fan art.
Okay, so here you go, guys. Get some fan art. I like how everyone comments that they like the old theme song. First of all,
when we had the old theme song, everyone hated it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure these people liked it. But.
I absolutely hated that old theme song, mainly because it was like 2 minutes of just like stuff I put together in a mixer.
People like a big theme song, though.
I guess, you know, like,
they don't like a short theme song.
I like a good short theme song. When I listen to podcasts, I'm just like, I skip over theme songs because I'm like, fuck this.
In general, people like the quick ones or the build up theme songs, you know, the long, slow, like, welcome to Bill's Dick World. We're going to talk about giant dicks today.
Dicks.
Wieners, dicks. Like that.
Yeah.
And, but it has to
that
go longer.
That should totally be our theme song this week.
Wieners and dicks.
Cut it into the beginning.
We could record a specific session and try and harmonize. Wiener.
Okay, well, we start off. Start off ready. And then, well, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll start off on the same
dick,
one.
Dick, 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 dick.
You go high, I'll go low. Okay, so we start off, we'll go dicks, and then we'll start off together, and then you go high, you go dicks, and I'll go low, I'll go dicks, and then we'll see if we can do like a harmony. Ready? Ready?
All right, I think I got where you're going.
Okay,
with
you're
this.
Going high.
All right.
Okay, we start off at dicks.
Dicks.
No,
doesn't
work. You got to start the same and then go high. That's the thing. So
dicks.
No. Listen to what listen. Dicks. You see you're off.
Dicks.
All right. So that was literally 30 seconds of this podcast.
Yes.
We're trying to harmonize on the word dicks. All right. So we got a lot to talk about this week. Not really a ton, but we got some interesting things to talk about.
Do you request 25th anniversary?
That was like, there's a couple things.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Hero Quest 25th anniversary debacle.
Debacle.
So you want to give our listeners a little bit of a background on this?
I think most of them know.
Yeah, I mean, they should know at this point because it's such an epic, just like
yeah,
failure.
I mean, it was over like 400,000 or 500,000 or something.
Well, first
before
of all,
it got
this,
shut down.
It's the Spanish company. Who's going to put out a 25th anniversary
Game Zone?
Who does some pretty decent minis? I mean, I'm not a huge fan of them.
Their figures are nice, but they're fucking expensive.
They're just GW substitute models, essentially.
Right, but they're really way too expensive to be.
And they're a little big too.
They're way too expensive to be an alternate. That's the thing I never get. It's like if you're making alternate, why would you make it more expensive? It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be like big models, you know, that are going to be like centerpieces of your.
Oh, actually, I take that back. They just did the Dark Elves. They did a set of Dark Elves in plastic.
Oh, did
they're
they?
They're no longer in metal, so they're actually way cheaper than GW.
Oh. Anything Dark Elf is now way cheaper than GW.
Well, they were way cheaper before the new Dark Elves, so now I guess they're way, way cheaper.
Well, anyway, Hero...
And they're really nice looking.
So, HeroQuest used to be this game. You know, it's a dungeon crawl game. Then GW
from Milton Bradley.
I think it was even before Milton Bradley, some other company. No.
Nope.
But anyway, Games Workshop got the license and started using Games Workshop figures in the game.
This is not accurate at all.
No, I could swear it was.
No, HeroQuest was part of the agreement with Milton Bradley with Battlemasters, and it was a game that was made in conjunction with Games Workshop. And so they made HeroQuest, Battlemasters. Those are the two things that they made. However, Games Workshop continued HeroQuest with HeroQuest Advance.
Okay.
And then there was the official Just Games Workshop spinoff, which was Warhammer Quest.
Okay.
But it was HeroQuest was first. It was in stores, Battlemasters in stores. Just Milton Bradley. It doesn't really say Games Workshop anywhere on the box.
Okay. Maybe that's that's where I got confused.
If you look in the little like copyright thing, you could see it. Okay. And then they're fighting like Chaos Warriors and stuff.
Yeah. I have Battlemasters. I got like three Battlemasters sets at home.
There's Chaos Warriors and HeroQuest as well.
Yeah. God bless that Battlemat. It's awesome.
The boss is a bloodthirster.
Fucking let's stop for a second. Talk about how awesome Battlemasters was. First of all, you bought the box set. It was like
huge.
It was like a 6-foot by 3
yeah,
foot
box. It was a gigantic
set.
Fucking box.
It wasn't that big, but
it wasn't
head,
that big. But it was a fucking.
When
box.
I was a little kid, it was that big.
Nothing compares to the Ogre box.
Yeah, the Ogre box.
Yeah, the Ogre, the game, Steve Jackson's Ogre.
Oh, Ogre, yeah.
The 28-pound game.
No, so anyway, you open up the box and there was just sprues upon sprues of that hard plastic that when you cut it, you could like literally like cut your entire hand like razor sharp plastic in there, and you just spend hours cutting it out, and they came in these cool little movement trays, and then all the game was you'd flip a card and what was ever on the card, that's what you move,
and you slide it on
and
the,
you slide it on
the
your,
plastic like
oh,
textured map
that was all like you could play it in the bathtub because it was like it was like rubber.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I played the shit out of that game.
Oh, I loved it. I would love to paint up a set of Battlemasters, just like a really nice painted set of Battlemasters. It's just too bad that the rules are so silly that it's not worth play.
Yeah, definitely it's not.
But
that's a HeroQuest is actually pretty fun.
HeroQuest is essentially I don't want to say it's exactly, but it's very, very close to Space Hulk. in its play style.
Going through a dungeon, fighting dudes,
going through a dungeon, you know. It's the standard of which any dungeon crawl board game
has ever been. There's a DM in it, so it's kind of sweet. They didn't call him...
No, they called him, like, Zorgon or something,
right? No, you're called something. I don't know. Christopher Lee did the voice work in the commercial, which is pretty sweet.
Okay, oh, yeah. Here we go. The Game Master called Morcar in the British version and Zargon in the U.S. version. Because, you know what? People in the U.S. can't handle Morcar. We're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, Zorgon. We get that. That's totally a...
It's legit. It's legit. I see. At first, I was confused. But now that it's Zorgon, I understand.
Zorgon with a G.
Why not
Zargon? Zargon.
Why not Zordon?
Zordon.
Yeah, Zardoz. No, Zordon, a giant disembodied head.
Yeah. I hate that show. doot. But yeah, so the British people, when they're like, they can't get Zargon because they're all like, this doesn't go together with me fish and chips and boiled beef.
Whatever, Christopher Lee did the commercial for the British version, so it's automatically superior. Sorry. That's a problem. No way.
Zargon is way better than Morcar.
Nobody can possibly beat Christopher Lee.
can we get some Game Classy t-shirts made up that just say, like, Team Morcar and Team Zargon?
Hashtag Team Morcar. Hashtag Team Zargon.
Okay. Let's do that.
All right. Very good. And you know what we could do, which would be ideal, is you just, on the front, it's hashtag Zorkon or hashtag Morgar, whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the back, it's just the other one.
Yeah. That's ideal.
Yeah, so it's perfect. That's no matter what.
Yeah. So you have... anyway, back to what we were saying with it. HeroQuest did... they came out, and it was a good game. I mean, it wasn't great.
It was fun. I mean, it's worth... The original's worth, like, a fuck ton of money if you have all the pieces.
You know, people really liked it.
It's worth a fuck ton of money even if you don't have all the pieces.
Yeah. So anyway, Games Workshop discontinued it when they stopped doing the Milton Bradley thing.
Milton Bradley made it and they're done. They don't print a lot of games forever.
Yeah. So people have been clamoring for it to come back. I mean, it's not like it's something that, like, necessary to come back, but people are always like, oh, bring back HeroQuest. So when Games Workshop started doing the reprints for the anniversary editions, you know, they did with a Space Hulk.
Spurserk.
And then all of a sudden they were like, everyone was like, oh,
Dreadfleet.
They're doing Space Hulk. Well, oh man, the next one totally should be HeroQuest.
Or Manowar. And then they made Dreadfleet.
Yeah. And that's what they end up doing. And people were like, this sucks. And from what I hear, it's like, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, Games Workshop Central threw out boxes of Dreadfleet. Just hundreds and hundreds of boxes of that game, but were unsold.
Yeah.
I still have my copy. And there's
you still have your copy because it's got no fucking value.
I still have my Space Hulk.
Space Hulk's got some value.
And my Battle
Even though it's terrible. It's really bad.
It's not. I like that game. And my Battle of the Five Armies.
That's actually a fucking solid game.
Yeah. But anyway, so anyway, the Spanish company somehow thought they had the ability to put out the game.
Gamezone
put out.
Well, no, they have a license to put it out in Spain.
In Spain.
I guess.
But since Spanish unemployment is 25% and no one could buy the game in Spain, they thought they were going to put it on Kickstarter and be able to ship it overseas to America. But Games Workshop was like, no, GameZone. No.
Tush. Yeah. I guess I don't really know what the legal claims are because it's not in
the Kickstarter. The
public, and it's not in the public eye.
Well, everyone was like, as soon as the game was on a Kickstarter, everyone was like, wait, can they do this?
I mean, there were a bunch of people who were like incoming DMCA from Workshop. You know?
It was like, this is I don't think, because their update to it had none of the original sculpts or anything like that.
No, they were all new updated sculpts. New.
None of it was inside the Games Workshop, I guess you could say, likeness rights or whatever they have
IP.
With it. IP, yeah. But anyway, I was like, everyone was like, wait, so they're doing a Spanish Kickstarter, and they're from Spain, doing a Kickstarter in Canadian bison dollars, and they're going to...
Because it's in Canada.
Yeah.
They're shipping it in from Canada.
Canada, yeah. So it was like this whole, like convoluted, like, machine, like the beginning of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know,
and then it just shoots you.
Yeah, exactly. This is the worst breakfast making machine ever. And so they send it out, and all of a sudden now it gets DMCA'd after making $400,000 Kickstarter.
It was climbing quickly.
Yeah, it was, because it was a good. It wasn't a great deal, but it was a good deal for.
It was definitely a good deal.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of stuff. I mean, the
I think it was $125 for, like,
that's the everything one.
Yeah,
it's $125. For the game plus every single unlocked stretch goal.
Yeah,
that's a good deal.
That's a good deal. Yeah, I probably would have went in on that, but sure enough, it got the Banhammer.
I mean, who knows? Maybe in 3 months we're gonna see a game called Hero Lords out on Kickstarter.
Well, I mean, and maybe Games Workshop's like, hey, we could make money actually on this game.
They'll never do it.
No, you know why?
Because it's a good business decision.
Because it's a good business decision.
They're gonna make Dreadfleet.
let's do a little bit of a segue from the Games Workshop making bad decisions, or somewhat good decisions. Okay, so we didn't talk about this last week because I don't remember if it happened the day of or like right after we put up the recorded the podcast. But Games Workshop said they're done with Finecast. Right? Well, Bella Last Souls reported that Games Workshop was done with Finecast.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know what's currently going on with this, but I happened to stop by the bunker the other day, and they got in all the new highly collectible Lord of the Rings figures.
Sweet.
Yes.
They have the ones with the fucking barrels.
So that's great.
That's the worst thing ever. It's like, so it's half. It's maybe a 1/4 of a figure.
Yeah,
at full price.
It's half. At full price. Yeah, that's for the collectors, because as we know, Lord of the Rings is not only
the finest rules available,
but it's also highly collectible. And so all of the new figures though do not say Finecast on them. Their Finecast is nowhere on the box anymore. So and so I was talking with some guys at the store, and I was just like, did they already crap out on the Finecast? Are they not doing it anymore? And he's like, yeah, this is probably just regular resin. I go, or is it just Finecast that they're not putting Finecast on the box anymore? Is that what it is? They're just done with the name Finecast. They're like, you know what? Like some guy at Games Workshop was like, you know what? People don't like Finecast, so we just won't call it that anymore. As he lifts his goblet full of child's blood.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like to imagine the North American side is a really scarred up dude with a metal hand who's like
Dr. Claw?
No, not Dr. Claw. You don't know if he's scarred. You never see Dr. Claw. Never officially revealed in canon.
Gadget. Never officially in the Inspector Gadget mythos, it's never explained. It's
never been officially revealed.
Okay.
There was an action figure where he looked like an old dude, but that is not the official Dr. Claw look.
Okay,
I think he's got a gauntlet. I don't think it's a metal hand. I don't think it's a robot hand.
Okay.
But the GW guy is the robot hand.
So okay.
He's like, we'll do it and crush their dreams. that's the imaginary voice.
So there's like a big boardroom table, and there's one guy who's like, well, our fans really don't like Finecast. We see our Finecast sales have gone down. Why don't we switch to a better material? And maybe we can still sell at the same price, but at least it'll be a better quality. And then everyone looks at him.
No, he just jumps at him. He's like, fool! He's choking the life out of him. You think you can improve on Workshop's model of success? We've been a profitable company for 4 straight years. And he throws him out the window.
Well, let me get into that in a second.
Throwing him out a window?
No.
Oh.
I think that's too much effort. By the way, your face turned beet red when you did that
voice. Yeah, because I was going.
Yeah, you were in it.
I
see one of two things happening. One, the guy just turns around with his fingers like pyramided underneath his chin, looks at the guy, and then he just presses a button, and the guy's chair just like drops down a chute to like one of those resin grinders they have where they can like get the sprues.
Nice.
Or it ejects him out the window.
Yeah.
Just this.
I regret nothing. Or you can have the other comedic version where he spins around with his fingers tented and just goes,
no, I don't think we'll be doing that.
And then the guy just looks really sad.
And then there's the small Hispanic child who goes, why can't we have both? And they just take Finecast off the box. It's like the taco commercial. For those who don't know that reference, the small Hispanic girl. But anyway.
Why not both?
So,
that's what I think in the bedroom as well.
I saw online that actually Games Workshop is having its first loss.
Yes!
In 8 years right now.
Dun, 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 there's hope for
and
humanity.
Actually, from what I saw, it was reported that it all single-handedly has to do with Steve saying that he's never going to buy another Games Workshop product ever again.
I'll take full credit for this victory.
You take full credit for that. actually, wait, hold on. Hold on, the table is rising right now from Steve's engorged boner.
It's out of control!
Yeah, well, I think it's something like this is the first time in like 8 years that online sales has taken a loss.
That's good.
I just hope it makes it leads him to better business decisions. Because unlike Steve, and I've said this before, I will make fun of Games Workshop when they do dumb things, but I still like...
Which is almost all the time.
Yeah, almost all the time. I mean, I have a hard time defending them a lot of times. But I do like the IP. I do like the games. I do like the models. Not for the price, but I do like them. So I can't... I have a hard time just dismissing them wholeheartedly like Steve does. Where he pushes them off a table. It's like, I shall put together and paint these far inferior plastic models rather than deal with the finest plastic
miniatures. I mean, the finest miniatures available. I mean, that would imply that I actually still like paint a lot, yeah, which still I would imply that you don't.
Yeah.
That's no.
Yeah, and what was I going to say?
I'll grip it and dip it, baby.
You know what? And this is from the correction files. We talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about other companies that do multi-part plastic kits, and we always said there's like only like two of them out there. Well, I did some research. And,
well, I said there's really only one.
Yeah.
Because all the ones that do the multi-part plastic, they're not customizable.
Well, I looked into it. Wargames Factory definitely does multi-part plastics that are customizable. Warlord Games does the plastics that are customizable.
I thought Warlord was all metal.
No, Warlord does plastics. Most of their bolt action stuff, like the core races of bolt action, the U.S., German, they have multi-part plastic box sets.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. Really? Those are plastic? Those are fucking expensive shit.
I mean, you get like 30 figures for $30.
Maybe, I guess I was looking at the big army deals. They seemed really expensive if those were plastic, so I'm going to guess that the deals I was looking at were metal.
You might have been. Yeah, I mean, I know you said that. I don't think Warlord is that expensive. I mean, they are the GW of the historical world, apparently. But they're not, I don't think they're that expensive.
Well, the ones, they definitely weren't that ratio, so I'm going to guess that the ones I was looking at were metal.
Yeah, there are some metal.
They do mean, have, if they're metal, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that's really expensive.
Some of the inferior races in bolt action, like the Polish or Italians, they definitely do not get plastic kits.
Mi scusi, why don't I get the plastic kit? You know, mi familia.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love playing...
My name's Buddy. I'm the boss. That'd be my general for the Italian army. This is Buddy.
That's what I love about playing the Italians in bolt action. You get to take a break halfway through the game because it's mandatory under their unions. It's a smoke break.
Nice. What about some spaghetti?
Yeah, they're going to eat the spaghetti.
I hope she made lots of spaghetti.
their order dice actually only has run, eat spaghetti, fornicate,
tortellini,
and stand and make rude comments at women. That's what it is. I'm okay to say this. I'm Italian. I can do this.
you're allowed.
I'm allowed.
Who the fuck's ever racist towards Italians? I mean, historically, I don't really think that's a thing.
Well, so,
although they have an Italian defamation league, which I think is mostly just like one dude just going around going, "We're not all mobsters." I think it's how it is.
Actually, I think the guy who started the Italian Defamation League, Anti-Defamation League,
yeah.
The Italian Defamation League,
which is all Italians.
I think he actually was in the mafia or something. There's something silly like that.
Well, not all mobsters. I mean, I am, but yeah. Not all Italians.
Yeah. But yeah, that in the terms of the Games Workshop, what I was saying is they posted, or they're maybe not posted yet, but I've heard that they've made like the Space Marine release was not as big as they hoped it would be.
And so they finally realized that eventually people won't buy more Space Marines?
I don't know.
Apparently.
I think it's mainly because there just wasn't a lot of... It's just, you know, when you oversaturate the market with Space Marines, everyone has a Space Marine army. Yeah. When everyone has a Space Marine army, they're not going to buy a shit ton of more stuff just because all of a sudden, oh man, the new flyer is so good.
Well, the thing is, there's so many models for the Space Marines... You're not going to sell it unless you make new stuff. And the more new stuff you make, eventually people are just like, fuck it. This stuff's not as good as the stuff I have now.
I like when I typed into my iPad Italian anti. All of a sudden, it just the first 12 was antipasto.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're going to make you an offer you can never forget. And here it is. Put your finger in my butt. Hurry it up.
Yes. I don't know. I can't find anything about it. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to get sued by the Italian Anti-Defamation League. They come after me.
And by sued, do you mean just some dude's going to bust in and bust our kneecaps?
Pretty much. Pretty much. So you're into Mage Wars now? That's what I see. I'm not. That's not a segue. I just look at the box of Mage Wars that has like the really standard side of a side of a van art on it.
The DM van?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely got the DM van look, especially this dude with the fire whip.
No, no, it's this chick right here.
Oh, the priestess.
Yeah, the priestess. She like looks like she's totally on the side of a van. That's like the guy like opens it up and a big cloud of smoke comes out,
I mean,
with the shag carpet.
Any of these
pictures
could be on the side of the van. It just it doesn't really matter.
All that's missing is a chick riding a tiger.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So that's... Yeah,
yeah. I've been playing Mage Wars.
What do you think of it?
I think it's top...
You said it's one of the best games you've played.
It is one of the best games I've ever played.
What makes it so good?
Okay, so it's got movement. Like,
all right, hold on a second. There we go.
Okay.
Because you're like talking into the side right here, and I can't hear a goddamn thing you're saying, so get on the mic.
Maybe you want to get on my balls.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Mage Wars. So it's got a board with squares that's, you know, you move around. So it's got the minis feel because you summon creatures, you move your wizard around the battlefield, you can put walls up so people can't go through, you can put firewalls up, all sorts of different shit can be summoned onto the battlefield. But it gives you a real feel of playing as an actual spellcaster because just the way they've set up the game feel works perfectly when you're playing. So you make a spellbook, your spellbook is limited by a number of spell levels. Mm-hmm. So you get like 120 spell levels. You're trained in
120 spell levels.
Yeah, you're trained in 1 to 2 schools of magic, and if you take spells from the school you're trained in, you pay whatever its level is. If you take outside of your school, you pay double its level. And then if it's an opposite school, so if you're a life mage and you buy death magic, you pay triple.
Ooh, this box is fucking heavy.
Yeah, you're probably knocking all the cards out around.
Cool,
scumbag.
I like how there's like a taunt token that has a raccoon on it.
That's because that's the raccoon's special ability.
Oh, there's a raccoon.
I believe it's a ferret. I think it's the druid's familiar. The easiest way to describe Mage Wars is there's infinite rules.
Oh, that sounds great.
However, they're all very easy. So there's many rules, but they're very simple. It's like a much better version of Magic. And the biggest thing is, you're basically building a deck with your spell book. But you pick your spells for the turn.
There's no minis in here.
No, I didn't say there were minis. I said it's like a minis game.
Oh, I'm with them. There should be like little mage minis.
A lot of people use figures for their mages. Or they use they make standees out of the mage card that you move around.
Ah.
So a lot of people have done a bunch of custom stuff with it. I think they might be in here. But yeah, the game's really fucking good. Each turn, you know, you have your spell book that you've made, which are these.
Okay.
Which is a little four-pocket binder. And...
Oh, this is cute. It's like you keep magic cards in here.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it is. And it's your mage's spell book. That's what your deck essentially is.
This is like the little binder I used to keep my Ken Griffey rookie cards in.
Yeah, it's a card binder.
Ken Griffey Jr. Rookie cards.
And the way it works is that each turn you can
I'll trade you Frank Thomas rookie.
You could Carl Yastrzemski.
With or without the sideburns.
That's a Vic Mackey from the Shield. So you get to choose two spells a turn. So you go through your fucking spell book and you're like, prepare these two spells, and you put them face down, and then you can cast said spells for pointos. That's what you move around the battlefield.
Oh, these cards are sweet.
That's how you move things. So that's where you put that down on the field. That's where your priestess is.
This is what my avatar would be when I was in Heavy Metal, the movie.
Are you sure it wouldn't be the Beastmaster?
What? That's not the Beastmaster.
Certainly no Krull.
Who's the guy who played Beastmaster? Oh, fuck.
Wasn't Kevin Sorbo?
No.
So I don't care.
So I don't care.
If it's not Sorbo, it's not worth your time.
The only name I keep coming into my head is Carl Yastrzemski. He definitely was not the Beastmaster.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you?
Are you positive? I'm
positive.
It could be Carl Yastrzemski.
Why are you doing a Philip Seymour Hoffman impression right now?
I don't know. I thought it would be a good idea, and turns out that he glued me to a wheelchair and set me on fire and pushed me down a hill. It was a bad time for everyone.
You got it. You're a little quick on it. You got to do it more like you're like exhausted. Like
I'm gonna kill your family. I'm gonna. Now all I'm thinking of now is Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, well, it's kind of Buffalo Bill-ish.
Yeah, big fat bitch. put the lotion on your skin.
That's Buffalo Bill if done by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I really want a sandwich. I'm trying to cook some.
You got
to
get the heavy breathing in there. Like really fat Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Trying to make some coffee. Yes.
By the way, the Italian-American Civil Rights League was founded by mobster Joseph Colombo. So yes! I was correct on that.
We're not all mobsters. Aren't you a known mobster, sir? Whoever told you that? Let me get their names.
So there you go there. All right. So what else do we got to talk about today?
Oh, man.
I know we talked about the case.
Micro-warmer.
That was like one of our first things we ever talked about.
Micro-warmer, then pico-warmer.
That was a classic thing.
I like right now in the hot search for Onboard Game Geek, HeroQuest is number 3.
It's a big thing. But Mage Wars is fucking great. Like, it's really fucking good. It's one of those games, though, that because I'm learning it with just the rule book, we have to go back and like look and research and watch videos, and I'm trying
watch
to
watch video. You're on YouTube.
They have a really good the company that made it has a really awesome tutorial on YouTube, and it covers every part of the game in separate videos, and then it shows you the full game. So what I did is before I read any of the rules, I just watched the YouTube videos. I was like, oh, this is cool. Although the one thing that sucks with YouTube videos is the douchey host is
that's every
dropped. By this music. No, the douchey host isn't the problem.
Oh, okay.
The music is the problem, because it's like a fantasy music, but it's like this. But it never stops. It just keeps going, and it's the same maybe 45 seconds of looping sound.
Oh, it's Arcane Wonders who puts it out.
Yes.
Okay. I just, yeah, that makes sense then, the why there's a douchey music in the background. That's a very Arcane Wonders thing to do. if I remember correctly. But aside from that, so, Steve, you've been playing Mage Wars lately. Anything else?
Are you thinking of Days of Wonder? Because this is their one and only game.
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe I'm thinking Days of Wonder. Okay.
Which is Memoir 44.
Yeah, and
Ticket to Ride and stuff.
Choo-choo! Right.
That's Days of Wonder.
And the one with the all the lands in the different little small world. Thank you.
Days of Wonder.
But yeah, I can't think of. I always think of whenever I go to Gen Con, they're always there, and they got the giant Ticket to Ride game where they have the full size trains.
God damn.
Or not full size, but like O scale trains.
Damn you, Gen Con! My old nemesis.
Oh, Gen Con is fun.
Still my old nemesis.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Maybe I'll call it my rival. It's my rival.
So, unsurprisingly, Adepticon sold out of everything immediately.
Oh, hey, whoa.
Hey, whoa.
This is fucking news. It's a giant deal. Actually, the thing is, it would be a huge deal if it didn't sell out. I'd be like, Adepticon's going to bomb this year, yo.
I don't see how it could. Like, that place is so jam-packed.
What's that mean? Like, if it didn't sell out immediately, I'd say that'd be a disaster sign.
I mean, this is the funny thing that I see with it, is that it did sell out everything really quickly. But yet, it's like, how do you have a tournament for 40K when there's only two competitive armies in that game anymore?
There's always only two.
Yeah, but it's always, for the last like 5 years, it's been Grey Knights and Necrons.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, it's always two. It might not be the same, but yeah, that's how the game always is. There's always one or two competitive lists. Everything else is garbage.
Yeah, everything else is garbage.
And then there's it's not now, but you know, back in the day, there was the Sisters of Battle list with all the Immolators that was possibly. It was definitely in contention for best army in the game by a lot, but it was $2,500 to buy that army.
Well, yeah, duh.
No, I mean, that's with like with an average discount. It was like $2,500. I was like, we're just not going to do this.
Yeah. Unless you had a sister.
It was the very definition of pay to win. And nobody had this type of Sisters of Battle army because it required 9 immolators, min-maxed units of sisters. And the way the sisters were sold, you had to overbuy Sisters of Battle to get it. Because you're like, well, I guess I just have these extra ones that I'll just throw the fuck away because I can't sell them because they're useless as like two ofs. Yeah, that's a thing.
I did want to put out on the pay to win thing. Just reminded me, Games Workshop's doing those mini downloads where you pay like a buck or two.
Yeah. The $4 DLCs.
Yes,
they're DLCs.
So essentially, we're buying beta books right now, and you know we have to pay the extra money to get
downloadable content.
So somehow, Games Workshop found a way to screw us even more. But Dan Delanois, who Cliff said is his favorite part of our show, is when we make fun of him, had one of the best quotes I've ever read on it. And I don't know if you heard this, but Cliff actually said to him, dude, just pay the... Because he was bitching and moaning, like, does anybody have this? We should all pull our money together and buy them all.
I told him that he should just buy them with the quotey fingers.
Yeah, I know, and it's just like... But it's like he kind of flipped out. Like, no one was like, no. And Cliff said, dude, just pay the $4. It's not like you have pride or anything. You're just paying games. You're just playing Games Workshop games. And Dan goes, no, a half page of rules is not worth $4. I could buy Bob Dylan's Hurricane for $1, and that's an 11-minute song. So, I mean, whether or not you like Bob Dylan, he does have a point there. You can get a song that's like a 30-minute song for $1, but you're not going to pay $4 for
a paragraph.
Why are those why aren't those 99 cents? I'm sure if they were 99 cents.
Why aren't they just free? Because do you remember when those kind of things were just free?
I understand that. Don't get me wrong.
They're just free.
I get that. But I mean, if they want to make money off of it, charge the 99 cents. Okay.
Or charge $4 for all of them.
Yeah, or something like that. A package deal like that. But instead for $4, where do you randomly get $4?
They put the fucking their digital content is as expensive or more expensive than the physical books. So they fucking care.
Like they fucking care. The fucking assholes. There's like
these idiots are buying these books for nothing. What a bunch of morons. It costs them nothing to make the books. Printing costs are fucking expensive. Yeah. Not as expensive as Games Workshop would have you believe, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
That's why they need to charge more for their digital versions, because it's just so expensive to produce those books.
I know. There was a lot of Games Workshop news this month. For a month where nothing came out except Lord of the Rings, which, as we know, is highly collectible.
All Games Workshop getting pissed on, which is sweet.
The models look cool. I'm not gonna argue that. I like the sculpts. The sculpts are really nice for the Lord of the Rings, but... I'm not paying $40 for a box of time.
Boss Monster is back in stock at distributors, so you should be able to see that at your local game store soon.
Yeah, that's
Zombicide as well came back this
Zombicide week. Yeah, Zombicide came back this week with a fury.
Toxic City Mall, Prison Outbreak, all of the sub-things, like the Season 2 Zombicide stuff is now flying out of an anus like a spittering turd.
When do I get to kill the sheriff's wife?
There's no sheriff's wife.
God damn it!
Sorry, bro. Sorry, you'd have to play The Walking Dead, Defender, whatever the fuck game.
Defendor.
It would be sweet if it was Defender. Best Defense, that's what it was. Okay. Walking Dead, the Best Defense game from Cryptozoic. They reviewed that on I can't remember the Officers Club, the Charles's podcast.
Yeah.
Which is very dry, but it's not bad.
Yeah. So you hear that, Charles? If you listen to this, your podcast's a little dry. Spice it up.
I already told him. I was like, it's a little dry. It's because they're like kind of our opposite. They're very, if you're into the heavy, in-depth talking about said things, that's what they do.
I can't. That's not me.
They also do full game reviews. So like half their podcast is like them talking about news or various things.
Why would anything want to be informative?
And the other half is
I'm here for entertainment, Steve. I'm here to make you laugh. You specifically, like if I had to climb over this table and just tickle you, I would do that to make you laugh. Exactly. Yeah, I just want to make people laugh and bitch and moan about my games.
Yeah.
Is that so wrong?
Yeah. Do you want to make them laugh while they're bitching and moaning?
Well, that's pretty sweet. That's what we try to do.
Yeah. It's true.
You an Empire player? You suck.
You idiot.
You idiot.
What is this, your first time playing a workshop game? Moron. Slap his arm off the table.
Oh my God. Did you see Fantasy Flight with their winter sale? Let's talk about Black Friday.
Winter sale? Yeah, yeah. I linked it on the Facha book.
I mean, but did you actually go through it?
Yeah.
They are just like, so Battlefront, You want to put out Dust Tactics, right? Here, let us undermine you completely. Here's all the Dust Tactics stuff for a dollar.
And the painted Dust stuff was only going for super cheap as well.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, if you were like legitimately interested in getting into Dust, do it now. You have like
it's gonna be over by the time the podcast is on.
No, I'll put it. It's I think it's over tomorrow, right?
I think it's today.
Oh damn.
Well, I guess yeah. I guess I don't really know, but. It's not lasting very long.
You didn't get anything on any Black Friday deals from minis or games, did you?
No.
I went and bought a couple things, mostly like gaming aids, so to speak, like marital aids, except not vibrate-y.
I was going with HIV aids when you said gaming aids. So it's like you're like, I can't generate saving throws anymore.
So we
you just fail all your saving throws.
It's so bad. AIDS isn't funny,
but it's what it does. It's been 10 years.
Wait. It's been longer than 10 years.
I know. Like 20 years. The statute of limitations on whether something is funny or not is 10 years.
Oh, okay. As stated by South Park. Okay. He just shrugged and said yes. Me and my wife were watching a movie that was made in 1992 yesterday. And
was it Philadelphia with Tom Hanks?
Yes, it was Philadelphia. I had no idea he had AIDS the entire thing.
I know, right?
No, it was this dumb British movie, but it was funny. And
so do you just mean a British movie?
Oh, take that, UK! You and your 2 inches of snow claiming it's a blizzard. local news and local references. So anyway, it was this movie, but it was like the big reveal at the end of the movie is that the main character has AIDS. And my wife was like, did you see that coming? I go, yeah, I saw it halfway through the movie. They kind of like had clues to it. She goes, I didn't even think about AIDS. Maybe that's because it was 1992 and we haven't really thought about that in 30 years. I'm like, nice, Diana. Nice.
It's true.
Yeah. But aside from that.
Everyone has AIDS. AIDS. My dog. My sister.
Yeah, I got some stuff from Litgo because I really liked their stuff and they
make a quality product.
They do. They take a little long on the custom stuff for just cutting plywood, but whatever. But they have some nice movement trays and stuff that I got. I also got some stuff from Noble Knight. Noble Knight had a huge sale, so I picked up some out of print stuff.
That's where the out of print is in print again.
Yes. And plus, they're just over the border in Wisconsin, so they literally take one day to get to your house. Yep. It's so awesome.
Their warehouse is pretty out of control.
I've never been. I was not allowed in there.
It is like
maybe someday you could take me up there and we could go and.
It is like the
take a tour.
The Raiders of the Lost Ark. like this first edition print of Dungeons and Dragons. Where did it go? It's being taken care of by top men.
Really,
top men.
Oh, okay. And then we drive our car through there in the fourth movie.
Speaking of which, the first edition reprint just came out not too long ago.
For D&D?
Yeah, the white box.
Oh. In the white box.
Heavily allocated.
Red isodecahedrons.
Heavily allocated. So if you see it at a store, it's probably worth picking up. Even if you plan to just sit on it and sell it for value later, because it'll go up.
What do you think? And I don't want to get too far away from the Black Friday deals, because there was a lot of good stuff. I mean, you could get... was that Old West one, though? The sci-fi Old West one? Wild West Exodus. They had a nice big sale going on. A lot of sales, just all around, like if you wanted to pick something up a little cheaper.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for anything, so I was glad you were looking for stuff, because I was like, oh, hey, Joe's posting about this stuff.
Well, I mean, like my big thing was I was planning on buying a lot more, but then Amazon on their front page was like, high-end TVs for 50% off, and I was like, oh, shit, I need a new TV. God damn it.
Just shove the models off the desk.
I did pretty much what it was. It was like, well, I mean, they had like on the front page, and they were Samsungs. They were like 40 inch and above at literally 60% off.
I don't want to hear about if it's less than 40 inches.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care.
In my room if it's less than 40 inches.
I don't want that garbage anywhere near me. So I got like a 50 inch.
I don't want it in my pants.
I got a 50 inch LED, you know, 1080p TV for, you know, $500, which is like unbelievable at that point. And because I bought my 40 inch TV in 2008 and it cost me $1,300. And so we got that and I was like, well, I'm not buying myself any more minis. So I bought myself a couple minis just because I wanted to. I needed that instant
gratification. Because you have a problem.
I have a problem. I needed that instant gratification. I needed my neurons to fire in my brain and release the serotonin that I needed to make me feel good about buying minis.
You should just inject the pewter directly into
your
balls.
No shit. Yeah. The fine cast in my
right
balls.
Right into there. Just, yes!
Ah, it's the finest mini
don't
crack.
Don't inject fine cast, though, because then your balls will actually just snap off and break.
Aw. Gotta pin them back in.
And then they just shatter. Oh. Fuck! There's no fixing this anymore.
I've been actually cataloging all my Games Workshop stuff that I still have to put together for 6th edition armies, because I'm back to 6th edition. That's it. I'm not going any further. I'm going to be that guy. And I actually...
It's a fine guy to be.
I have a lot of fine cast, actually.
Ooh. Ouch.
Well, I got... there was a period like when everyone was dumping all their armies in it, when they would transfer for 7th to 8th edition. A lot of people dumped their fantasy armies, so I went and picked a lot of them up. They're, like, super cheap, and a lot of them had some fine cast stuff in there, so... I have a lot more than I should have of fine cast. And all my Lord of the Rings minis.
Are they like, dust in little baggies?
Pretty much.
This was an Empire general. I can see his hat.
Did I tell you
in
that
the pile of dust?
Did we talk about that with? I think at the mini auction where I was talking about. I'm like at that point right now where I'm going to get rid of all my Lord of the Rings stuff.
Finally,
I have such a problem. I can't get rid of it, Steve. I really want to, but I can't.
Is it because it's so highly collectible? It's got its claws in you. Will never let go.
Pretty much. It's highly collectible. But aside from that, yeah, we did the Black Friday. Yeah, I got the TV. So we did a TV swap, moved my 50 inches in the living room, 40 inches in the bedroom, and then my 32-inch TV that was in the bedroom is now on my computer desk as my computer monitor. So I have a 32-inch monitor on my desk.
You don't like the... how's the lag on that?
I don't play video games, dude.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, speaking of...
Then why do you need a giant computer monitor?
Porn.
Why do you need a giant computer monitor?
Because there's nothing like having a 32-inch vagina in your face, Steve. Or a 32-inch dong, if you're into that.
Well, that's what I said. If it's not less than 40 inches, I don't want it in my face.
Well, yeah, okay.
I was 100% talking about a giant cock.
Oh, yeah, so we could have a 40-inch cock.
Right. It's just 40 inches. It's so big. What do I do with it? It's a monster cock.
40 inches if it goes from one corner to the other corner.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just a normal, like, large cock.
Gigantic dicks.
Yeah, but speaking of
video games,
did you buy your Xbox One?
Xbox! The best thing about it is you can turn it on by talking to it. So you're like, Xbox! Xbox! Turn on! Xbox! And it just doesn't do anything. Xbox! Stop it!
I like the fact that people are, like, walk into rooms while people are playing the Xbox One and just go, Xbox off, and it turns off. Like, through the game. Throws the game off.
Xbox F.
I'm totally going to do that if I'm ever at Pat B's house and he's playing the Xbox. I'm just going to shout out random things like, Xbox, play Walking Dead Season 1.
Xbox, play Jack and Jill Take 27 Inches. And then look, huh? Is it working?
Is it porn?
No. The my favorite thing about the Xbox and the PlayStation 4 are hearing the console peasants argue about which one is better.
The console peasants. Well, you are the PC superior gamer.
Right. I'm standing there in the tower, and I'm you know, I've got my wenches and my gigantic amount of food and ale and mead and all sorts of things, and there's just treasure all around me, and I'm just standing there, and I have knights, paladins, I've got a dragon in my castle as I'm looking down, and there's two guys in brown muddled robes covered in shit and mud slapping each other going like, no, the Xbox is the superior, and the other one's like, no, it's PlayStation, and they're just slapping at each other while I'm just looking there eating a giant turkey leg like, yes, fight for my amusement.
And the girl comes up to you and she's like, my lord. And you're like, don't touch me, you filthy casual.
And then I throw her off the balcony. Yeah. She plummets to her doom. Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
Filthy casual. You know what? I don't even play video games, but I think that's the funniest thing in the world. Like,
filthy casual?
Someone's yelling at someone else going, don't touch me, you filthy casual.
Well, that works for tabletop games, too.
If it does, like
a super competitive tabletop gamer, you just be like, don't touch me, you filthy casual. Don't touch my dice.
That's the way I am with, like, you don't even have a painted figure. Go away, you filthy casual. All my units are named and the regiments are printed on there in calligraphy.
Units.
Units.
And I would just be like, you name your guys? What are you, a workshop player? That's exactly how that would go down.
It could work for Warlord. And not Warlord, Privateer Press. People are really into War Machine.
But everything in War Machine's already got a name.
It's pretty much. I go by the book. Dude, did you? Speaking of, like, sitting there eating your, drinking your mead and eating your
giant turkey, like,
how about that fucking bar that we?
I fucking hate that guy. I 100% hate him out of just pure jealousy.
Just go to that bar, and I guess it's in Vancouver, which is cool because I want to go to Vancouver on vacation. I would totally look up this bar and go there. But it's this,
the Raven Claw or whatever, Raven's Blood. I don't fucking know.
Raven Claw.
I don't even fucking care. I don't want to think about it because I can't go.
The Stormcrow Tavern.
I don't even want to think about it because I can't go. It just hurts my me deep in the cockles of my heart.
Okay, so there's this, if you go to the Facebook page, you can see there's like a video for this Bear Claw Tavern by Scythia. Or Scythia, I don't know how you ever want to pronounce it. It's like a pretty like mediocre like metal song, but it's a pretty cool looking bar. I guess it's fantasy themed, and they play all sorts of fantasy movies and Doctor Who.
The fucking menu.
Yeah. The menu
looks... The fucking menu looks...
It's a D&D manual.
It's a D&D module.
Yeah.
Fuck!
You just want to go there.
I just want to go there so fucking bad. I would never... The problem is I would never leave. I would my ass flesh would just fuse to the bar stool, and I would just become one with the bar.
That's Steve. He's like, he's one with the bar.
I'd be like, hello, how are you doing? I've been here for many, many generations.
You're like that one episode of Star Trek where they're all like, are you of the body? You're like, are you of the bar?
Yes.
I can't. Oh,
and I would have to have double.
God, what's the one with Landru? Why can't I think of Aaron Immerse? No, not Aaron Immerse.
Double ales. Double ales, and just be like.
You're like the norm. You want to be the norm of that bar, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I wish there was
ever leave. Except when the season finale happened, I wouldn't fucking leave. I'd be like, fuck you, you leave.
Series finale.
Whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be like, fuck you, you leave. I'm staying.
So yeah, you could take a look at it. It's, as I said, it's no Finn Troll, but it's a decent video.
Best bar of all time. Man.
I do enjoy drinking while playing games, but... Especially games I know. I don't like drinking and then playing a game I don't know.
Well, the last time I played in a workshop tournament, I got totally fucking hammered. Like,
you did. I remember
destroyed.
That.
Destroyed.
That was at Adepticon.
Yeah. And it was actually awesome because I didn't remember how to do anything. So I'm like playing against people like, I'm going to move these guys. Just like, I'm going. Toot, toot. I actually said toot, toot. And I was pushing. I was like, toot, toot. And they're like, the dudes are like, they're all super serious. They're like, well, I'm going to flank charge it. I'm like, okay, flank charge it.
You do that, sir. You do that.
Yeah, it was nice not giving any shit whatsoever. Because just so hammered. Just like, I don't even care. You're rolling dice. Yeah.
Well.
It was fun.
So anyway, we are coming.
That was mostly just the booze.
Yeah, that is the booze talking. We are coming to the end of our 50th podcast.
We're not going
to
make it a super special long one with like giant... We want to give them an extra inch of dick.
Well, what are we going to talk about for that extra inch of dick?
We can talk about stuff. There's still plenty of stuff to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
Mecha-Shiva.
Mecha-Shiva! Mecha-Shiva! Mecha-Shiva!
Really? Really? This is what you give me? I was willing to let all the other stuff go, but this?
The mummy's... What was it? It was
the Return to the Curse of the Mummy's Tomb or some shit.
It was the mummy's craft box or something, craft drawer or something like that. It's just, as soon as I saw it when I was looking, I was like, Mecha-Shiva! Mecha-Shiva!
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It's actually a Mecha-Shiva. It's pretty badass. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that's been coming
Corporea
out.
Corporea got funded.
I know, I saw that. I was very excited about Corporea being funded.
That's what I said. Verily, thine documents are in need of notarization, my lord.
Stop your bad mouth to Corporea. I'm gonna run one
right into the ground.
We also
nailed it.
We have Dual Fighters coming out. The
75 mil, I thought.
Yeah, 75 millimeter figure. So at that point, you're playing with action figures. Yeah,
I mean, the figures are cool. They look cool, but the fuck, 75 millimeters, gigantic.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
If you want to do a game like that, why don't you just make it? Here's the trick on how to do that as a game in a fantasy universe and have people who want to pick up your models because they're sweet for other games. Like, these people clearly don't care about people using their models for other games.
Yeah.
But now if I wanted to have as many sales opportunities as possible and I wanted to produce 75 millimeter figures, I would make my game about fantasy monsters battling. So then I have a dragon versus a giant.
Yeah.
Versus like a frost titan or
versus
whatever.
Perhaps a cockatrice.
Sure, a giant cockatrice. Whatever. You know, or a rock.
Or perhaps a Medusa.
A Gorgon. Gorgon's actually a giant bull, but sure, Medusa too. Medusa, Gorgon, whatever. Just monsters.
Perhaps the Kraken.
The Kraken. A Boule. You know, just big stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I would want to do. And I'd set it up. I'd use
the
same.
Would you unleash the Kraken?
I would unleash the boule.
Okay.
But that's then you can have a game using big figures that you want to sculpt.
Actually,
and produce.
That sounds kind of sweet. When you think about it, I think about it.
Just a big mini, a big skirmish game with giant monsters, and then you could be able to sell those monsters to people who play Warhammer or Kings of War or another skirmish game like Wrath of Kings or something like that. You know, be like, oh, that dude's fucking cool. I want that for my Wrath of Kings army or whatever.
A dragon of some kind.
Yeah.
40K turn-based strategy game.
The phone game?
Yeah.
It's a fucking phone game.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Exilis didn't make its funding. Poor Exilis.
Yeah, actually, I was kind of disappointed because Exilis, the Kickstarter, actually looked pretty good.
It was a decent. I mean, I don't know. Here's my problem with it. There was such a long time that you could buy the Exilis figures for so fucking cheap because they were just in discount. They were liquidation, right. Get rid of them. So I think everybody who was relatively interested in that game had all the figures that they wanted already. So when they put it out there again, it was only going to attract new people, not people who were into it beforehand.
Right.
I think that was part of it. I mean, it only made 14,000 out of 50,000. And 50,000 is not a huge goal when it comes to a lot of minigames.
Nope, not at all.
I mean, granted, I think it was appropriate for this game. I think it's kind of funny that it didn't even make it.
Yeah, maybe they even set that goal too high because I think all they needed was money to print the new rule book. But I mean, the other issue that I think I pointed out when we first talked about the Kickstarter launching was that a lot of the guys who played that game really felt burned, like their forum was just like ablaze because the way they handled that game not working or shutting down basically is they did the same thing that Privateer Press did with Monsterpocalypse. They just say nothing. They said nothing. They were like, their updates were coming, sets were being released, figures were coming, and then at one point, they just stopped.
Yeah, I mean,
and no one said anything. The company said nothing. Their moderators didn't respond on the forums. It was just total silence from the company producing the game for like 2 months or longer, and then they go, oh, this work. We don't have enough money to make any more sets. After a bunch of time. So all these people are like, well, now I'm totally burned. So you disenfranchise the people who are supporting your game by not saying anything.
Yeah.
And just leaving it. And then you're like, oh, by the way. And then long after everyone's figured it out, you're like, oh, by the way, well, we're not making any more because we don't have any money. And you're like, oh, wow, what a shocker.
Yeah.
You had to tell us this after 3 months? So it's just like Monsterpocalypse, same thing. You know, they still have like organized play kits available for Monsterpocalypse. They haven't produced a Monsterpocalypse figure for 2-3 years, I think.
Something like that.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
But the biggest problem is like the biggest crime that they are committing with that is same thing that Exilis is. They're not talking about it. They don't say anything. And it's like, well, you know, giving people an update would help.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd say, hey, don't lose hope because we're doing to do this. But
yeah, and I think last thing I noted was that Dead Zone's shipping finally. The Dead Zone Kickstarter is finally starting to ship, and Kingdom Death is shipping now too.
Kingdom Death?
I thought that hasn't shipped yet.
No, they did a Black Friday special for Kingdom Death.
Oh, that's what it was.
No, Dead Zone is shipping fast again because Mantic ships quickly.
That's what happens when you have a little substrate. Nothing. I didn't say anything.
What's that?
Nothing.
When you're a company that can actually produce your Kickstarter pledges?
Start figures.
Why don't you buy some more Relic Knights?
I didn't go in. I wish I kind of did go on Relic Knights.
So you could also be on Tilt?
So I could be on Tilt. But I mean, the figures are really cool looking. But no, I'm going to want to with the Soda Pop. Speaking of Soda Pop, Soda Pop's finally putting out their third expansion for Super Dungeon Explorer. The forest one where you get a centaur.
You get a centaur with a big vagina flopping around.
Ah, oh, yeah. Nice. Pony clap.
You can never satisfy her, Joe. She's got a horse vagina.
Oh, man.
Sorry, buddy.
And also, did you get any... going back to Black Friday, you didn't get any weird miniatures on Black Friday?
By weird miniatures, do you mean Malphah?
Malphah?
No.
No, nothing. So I think we covered...
Actually, you know what? I just pooped a little earlier.
Oh.
And there was a Malifaux miniature in the toilet.
Did you somehow mold that poop?
No, I just looked down and it looked exactly like a Malifaux figure.
It had a top hat?
It kind of did, yeah.
And it had a cane sword?
I was very surprised myself, but hey, it was a Malifaux figure right in the toilet.
Came right on the base with a little street lamp.
The cobblestone street.
Cobblestone street with lamp and a sewer grate.
The fucking worst.
It was a little goblin carrying around a doll's head. It was awesome.
And his the doll had a stitched mouth, like stitched shut. Yeah,
yeah, with button eyes.
And well, only one button eye. The other button eye was hanging off of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the goblin.
And some of the seams were bursting just a little. And, you know, they're kind of grayed and desiccated.
Did the goblin have a handlebar mustache?
The goblin had half a handlebar mustache.
Yes, and a buck tooth.
Handlebar mustache on one side, and the side without the mustache was the buck tooth.
So there we go. So I think the only thing that we were really missing from this podcast is a... I'm going to start it off.
Me smearing my testicles on the mic?
Yes.
I can do that.
Steve?
Sometimes the world looks perfect.
Nothing can be rearranged.
Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are this time, nothing's gonna stand in our way. This flame in my heart, like a long-lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end. Standing tall on the wings of my dreams, rise and fall on the wings of my dreams. Through hail and thunder, through hail and haze, we're down for better days. It's my life, it's my dream, and nothing's gonna stop me now.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. If you want to get in contact with me directly, whether to send me all your old figures for free, you can get in contact with me at Joe at planetarbitrary.com. You could also look for sponsorship deals or anything like that. If you want us to talk about your game, talk about anything like that, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Nobody's going to pay us any money.
Just pay us in free stuff.
I see what you're going
with. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't mind talking about Nike as long as I get some Nike shoes.
Yeah, I don't want any of it.
Nah, yeah, so you can send it all to me.
That's fine. That works for me. Yeah. It's cash. If you want to send me cash, I'll take it.
You send cash.
I'll take cash.
Yeah, and you could also subscribe to us on iTunes, like, comment, subscribe, so to speak, as Steve likes to say. One day we'll eventually beat the Michigan Poker Hour. That will not happen anytime soon. But you know, anytime you like us, put it up there. Like us, comment on us on the Tabletop Gaming News as well. The guys who put the stuff on there on Tabletop Gaming News, I really appreciate it, because I swear to God, I go to Tabletop Gaming News, I see podcasts all the time. No one ever comments on it. Ours is the only podcast that gets comments on it, and I fucking love that, because trust me, there are so many shitty podcasts on Tabletop Gaming News that it's like I see them sometimes and I'm just like, why do these people try? At least we're not trying when we're doing this. They're trying. And also listen to past Retro Game Review podcast, where you want
Pat's 8-bit retro contest podcast,
where you can learn about the
Xbox
and the PS4 and all the fun stuff with gaming and retro gaming going on,
and how he can call himself a video game reviewer without having played Shadow of the Colossus. I'll never know.
Did he really never play Shadow of the Colossus? I've played Shadow of the Colossus, and I've
never played Shadow of the Colossus.
It's a fun game.
I'm like, how do you say you're a video game reviewer?
You know what? I don't think it's as good as everyone says.
It's not, because the controls are really rough.
Yeah.
I think
there's a lot of
nostalgia goggles.
Yeah, but it's a fun game. I liked it. It was very visually cool.
The controls are rough and does. It's not as good as everyone says it is.
Yeah,
it was. I'm trying to remember. Like 10 years ago, it was probably pretty insane.
Yeah, at the time though, it was
pretty insane.
I played it much later. Steve, until next week.
Xbox, turn off.
Game Classy.